When was the premiere in Sundance?
It was on the 21st of January, so, so two or three weeks ago, yeah, just very recently. It's, and this is the second place it's ever been shown.
We took it
direct from Sundance to here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you got the support from Sundance, from the Institute.
We did, yeah. It's we got the support of the, first from the Native Institute, and then we went through the Sundance directors and the writers' labs, and were able to workshop and develop the film in that structure, which was extremely helpful.
I think there could have been a lot of technical problems as well. Digital camera working with minus 25 degrees or lower below.
Right. Well, that's why we shot on film. Film is a tested technology. It's been around for well over 100 years now, and it was 100 years ago that Flaherty made Nanook of the North, and so people have been using film in the Arctic for that long, and so we knew we could trust it. The things that I wasn't sure of were the electronics, things like the sound equipment or lighting equipment or things like that. But that, all of those challenges we were able to surmount very,
It was a wonderful filmmaker coming from Finland, mm-hmm. who made documentaries about the Arctic.
Oh, yeah, I think I met him, actually. I met him the other night at the Generations Lounge, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
What was the hardest for you to do in the movie or for the movie?
Let's see. There's a very long list of difficult things. Finding the actors was very difficult, but it was really great at the same time. They'd never acted before. We searched for months, and we saw hundreds of people all over the Arctic. We went all over Arctic Canada and all over Arctic Alaska searching for people. And almost pretty much everybody that we saw had never done any acting before. And we were very lucky to be able to find the people who could be so brave and to be just so open and just throw themselves into this process. And it was hard on them because they didn't know what making a movie takes. I think until you've done it, it's hard to really appreciate how much work it is. The long days, the doing take after take after take, and how exacting you have to be. And so they really had to learn everything just right from the start, and especially Josiah and Kuruk, Josiah and Frank, the two leads, who are in every scene pretty much, and they're in almost every shot, especially Josiah. And so for him at 16 to be able to take on this kind of responsibility and to come through with this kind of performance, we didn't know it was possible ourselves going into the filming, and thank goodness it was. He came through. He came through and gave, I think, a great performance.
Have you been at home each year, each summer?
Yeah.
So you know what changes.
Yeah. Changed. Yeah. I've been living in New York now for the past 8 years. I went to film school in New York, but I've been constantly going back home to Barrow and have spent time there, and hopefully we'll continue to do so and be able to make more projects up there after this. So.
This would have been my next question. What's your next project?
Uh-huh. It's going to be shot in Hawaii on the beach. No.
That's a
code. I'm not sure yet. It's definitely something I'm thinking of, and I've got some script ideas that I'm very excited to start writing. I'm also looking to see if there's scripts that other people have written that I might be interested in doing. I think it's important to just to keep working and to keep making movies and to keep telling stories, and so whatever it ends up being, I'm really happy to move on to that. This film, as much as I love this film, it's consumed my life for the past 4 years basically, and so it's nice to get at this stage when it's out there and I get to.
From the beginning of the short film.
Yeah, we shot the short film in 2006, so it's actually more like 5 years going back to that. So, it's a. It's going to be very nice to move on and tell a different story. Probably maybe one a little lighter, maybe a comedy, who knows.
What did you inspire to become a filmmaker?
I think it's a complex question, and I think I've always loved telling stories. I was in theater before I was in film, and so I loved that aspect of it. I loved communicating with an audience. and I moved home to Barrow and started a theater company with a cousin of mine. It was actually in Barrow. Uh-huh. And she actually started it, and she kind of pulled me into it. And it was a theater company dedicated to doing shows entirely in the Inupiaq language, as a way to teach ourselves the language better. And so doing that and being able to tell stories that were that personal and from our culture was so rewarding, but at the same time it was limiting because we could only show it to the community and maybe 400 or 500 people could maybe see it. And then I just thought that film is a way that you can tell these stories and you can reach a wide audience and it can go in across the entire world, and we can make this film and bring it to Berlin and show it to audiences of all ages like this and get this kind of response. So this is why I wanted to go into film, for this exact reason.
You get supporting in your own country to do more.
I certainly hope so. The United States functions on such a different model. There's no real public funding for films, which makes things difficult, especially to tell stories of this nature that don't have established commercial actors, stars in them. But we were able to find people who were brave enough and believed in the story enough that they would come in and help us to tell this story. And so, you know, I thank goodness that there are people like that, and hopefully the success of this film will reward them, and hopefully they'll be happy to fund more films of this, either my films or other films. And you know, I think, you know, it'd be awesome if the United States had some sort of public funding. But in the absence of that, I think independent film in the United States is finding a way to survive, and I'm proud to be a part of that.
I have a question about the language again. Mm-hmm. Is it just a name, Inupiaq, or is there a meaning behind the name?
Inupiaq is, the word Inupiaq literally means real person. And so Inupiaq, as applied to the language, could be sort of construed to mean real language. It's just, you know, the way that we refer to ourselves, Inupiaq. Inuit is sort of a broader term that covers.
The Inuits, they have the same, eh?
Yeah, yeah. It's we're part of a larger group, the Inuit group, which stretches all the way across Canada and up into Greenland. But Inupiaq is specific to northern Alaska and a little bit in Canada. There's like Tuktoyaktuk, which is just across the border from Alaska in Canada. And I think I actually have some relatives there that I've never met. But that's, you know, that's our part of the world.
Okay. Thanks for the interview.
Yeah, thank you.
And congratulations
Maybe
again.
Maybe you want to tell something.